There is a conception of life that we call sacred, where our relationship to our own divine center and to God within all is the central axis of consciousness of a life. That's the premise that everything that we call sacred is based on. It's the understanding and willingness to commit ourselves to a continuous centering around our own divinity and around divine intentionality. Those two things we talk about as separate, but they're not separate. The divine isn't outside, it's inside. It's outside and inside. So it is a soul-centered life. It is a commitment to live with God at the center of life in terms of actions, plans, decisions, and so on. Of course this is very different than people are living now. Of course it is. Our society and our values, our way of spending time, our thoughts about what's necessary to a life, doesn't include this as central. It may include it, but not necessarily as central. So what does it take to rethink this centering? What does it take? Well, it takes the growth of the heart's recognition that there is such a thing as a relationship with the sacred. There has to be a blossoming of that awareness, otherwise there's nothing to talk about. This isn't something that you know you study in school. This is something that arises from your own awakening to values, what's important in life. So the word sacred translates as relationship or immersion in or participation in, any one of a number of words, with the divine reality. Divine reality as compared with how human beings picture the physical plane with its own physical reality. Now, we know those two things aren't separate, at least we speak of that, but in practice these two things have become very separate. So we have the capacity to, let's say, just use regular language, try and get along with people, be nice to people, be kind. We have human values that can be discussed on that plane alone about moral behavior, about having relationships that are honest and have integrity. We can do that, but we're still speaking on the human level and not on the human divine level. It's a different thing. It's meant to incorporate the human, but it's more than that. There is such a thing as relating to the creator of life through the acknowledgement that there is a creator of life. We can walk around and be nice to each other and not feel that we are involved with the creator of life. This is a different way of living. To perceive the sacredness of life is to know that there is a divine reality that we are part of and that's larger than the human plane. Nobody, not myself included, can tell anybody to be there. You have to come to it from inside yourself. This desire to participate in the creation, the created creation that we're in. But I can't tell you that you're in it. You have to feel that you're in it. And out of that comes the desire to be living in attunement with what that creation is about. And that has all the levels to it. How do we live as a planetary family? How do we live inside ourselves with our own daily activities? How do we live with each other in a family, biological family? How do we live in relationships? It has all of those levels. But if you're not responding to creation as if it exists, then you're having a different experience of life. It's not a bad experience, it's just a human experience separated from the divine context that's always holding it. So, to create a marker in consciousness that this is relevant is to enact any one of thousands of different rituals. A ritual is an action that represents a sacred intention. It could be a prayer ritual, It could be a gesture that you make. It could be a mantra. A ritual is something that you decide to do because it deepens your connection with sacred reality. And that crosses all rituals of all planes. The ritual is like a doorway. And it's clearly not that way for everybody. Everybody doesn't have the same response to lighting a candle. Lighting a candle, for example, is a good example. Lighting a candle is something that people have done through many traditions throughout the world. Lighting a candle in observance of something sacred. Do we ask ourselves why we light a candle? Not too much, a little. It seems like it has its own meaning without having much of a conversation about it. But that's a ritual. We do it because it brings something into our consciousness that feels what? Feels more holy, feels more meaningful, feels special. You know, maybe you'd find your own word about that. Why do people light a candle? For anything, including birthdays. You light a candle because it signifies we're doing special something special to honor this day. You light a candle to honor the day of God. You light a candle to honor the relationship between the human and the divine. So when we talk about this, there's the question internal to each embodied soul, which is each of you. What meaning does this have? The externalization with others of marking the relationship of our human embodiment with the divine reality of creation. That's what you're doing with any ritual you create with others. You're doing it together to acknowledge the centrality of the human relationship with the divine and to try to bring those two together. Each of you may have your own internal way of speaking about this relationship or feeling it. I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. But we're trying to do something together, and we're trying to do something together in a world that hasn't yet created a form for doing it. So we need to find the new ways of doing it together. And the words we give to it are one level. How do we speak about sacred relationship, sacred household? But the gestures in action of what do we literally do in our households, what do we do with each other, involves a commitment to the importance of doing it. What do we do if we decide to sit together at the altar on a regular basis? What do we do if we make agreements about how to communicate about difficulties that may arise in ordinary daily living? That's a matter of commitment, and the commitment has to come out of motivation, and the motivation has to come out of the desire to unify life within the sacred reality of our relationship with God. So we create new rituals for that because they don't exist. We have to create them because we're trying to advance consciousness to a new level of integration of a sacred life, not just internal, but with each other. So the word commitment is important. Commitment has different degrees. It's not yes or no, different degrees of commitment. And out of commitment to this principle of uniting the human and the divine, we make a declaration inside ourselves that we will be responsible for such and such a thing, an action, a meeting, a way of speaking, a principle of acting. We will do that. And out of that comes the new structure of how to create a sacred household. A new structure. It's not based on precedent, it's based on a new conception of what we're trying to do. That's the nature and the essence of a sacred household. And its purpose is to bring the human-divine relationship into a greater degree of unity and sharing with others, both internally and externally. We have to understand that the essence of what feels sacred will differ from person to person. It will. But we're trying to create a new language here of communion with the divine in our everyday life. And so we have to discover what that individualized representation of longing for that relationship with the divine is. We start someplace with rituals or actions that seem to unify consciousness around the idea that we're participating in creation, that there's something larger than our particular personal or family concerns that are going on. We start with the idea that we're desiring to do that. And so there are some basic gestures or markers or rituals that we can put in place to signify our desire to come together with others in this consciousness. But that will also evolve. We're just at the beginning of trying to find our way. That will evolve into the ways in which your own unique household or consciousness then finds its own way, its own specific gestures that feel that it can do that even more or better. This is just a starting place for a new language of consciousness expressed outwardly so it can be shared. And the basic structure of sitting together with others, saying a prayer, and I'm adding to that what I feel is important, which is a way of bringing to the altar, to the sacred, some of the issues of daily living that feel like they get separated. They get discussed in other terms, other conflict, other terms that don't have to do with God. Bringing the discussion to the altar as well. So I'm not just talking about meditation. But this is it. This is the question of how do you create a new language for a longing of the heart and a desire of consciousness to move in this direction. It has to be discovered, and we have to start with some basic principles, and that's what we're about right now. In Indian households, there is, in the more affluent households, a room devoted to puja, to prayer and worship and meditation, a room in a household, just a room, not uncommon. And even when a room isn't present, the vision of sacred objects, statues or images, they're all over the place, in a house. Any house, the poorest house will have those as well. Because the idea of the divine influencing or petitioning or prayer to the divine is current. It's current all through consciousness with everything. In here, in this country, and in the secular West in general, we don't see that distribution of images and relationship with prayer and sacred involvement with sacred relationship all of the time. It's compartmentalized because we have a predominantly secular society. But this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to take what we have gained here in our understanding of life and bring to it the sacredness of every consciousness, every action, every moment, every decision, every part of life back to that unity of sacredness. There will come a time when markers and rituals to reawaken the connection with the divine within are no longer necessary, that the understanding and awareness of divine reality will be as present and as operating as innately within us as breathing does. We don't have to think about breathing. It happens because we exist. We exist in our bodies, and so we breathe. And we breathe and expect to be breathing. And the divine presence, once the soul energy and the energy of the soul based on the expansion of light becomes more available to our consciousness, once light has strengthened to the point so that we know that we are souls, that it's no longer a reference to something abstract, but an actual experience, then we will have an experience of the divine reality as being as much part of everyday life as breathing or talking or eating or doing anything else that we consider fundamental to life. It will no longer be a discussion, but an innate reality of how we live.